What's going on, guys? Welcome back to episode 101 Kneel Down Podcast. Fantasy draft, first of the year for us, complete. We did our slow rookie draft in about 10 hours, so not very slow, but how are we feeling?
I mean, I'm feeling good. I still think, you know, my team's in that middle of the road. Obviously, where I finished last year, I was selling, so I'm not going to make a last place to first place jump. Just obviously not really realistic. But no, I think I'm feeling good. I was able to get the three of the top four receivers, and I got a running back in a trade, and I acquired another first-round pick for next year. So I have five for 2024.
Yeah, we're doing busts and sleepers on today's episode. But next week, guys, how are we feeling about doing a Midwest Monsters preseason ranking?
You want to do it right away? You want to do it? I guess we're going to have the first week of preseason done, I think, because I know the – Hall of Fame game is tomorrow, Thursday. So I think preseason, those games will start next Thursday. So, yeah, let's get it done before preseason starts.
Let's do it. The episode people have been waiting for all summer.
I loved doing this episode right now, the bust and sleepers. We did it different than last year. We just picked three bust, three sleepers. You could have done all receivers, all running backs, or mix it up. But this year we did one from each position. So we have eight guys to talk about each. We didn't tell each other who we're picking. So maybe our minds are thinking alike and we might have one or two of the same.
I think we'll have two of the same because I know we're both out on a guy or two. And I know we both like a guy or two at their ADP. So it'll be interesting here. But
okay.
Yeah, we got some news to talk about before we get into that, though. First piece of news that happened late last night, early this morning, Cooper Kupp nursing a hamstring injury. Sean McVay says no timetable for return. When you see that no timetable, that freaks me out. I don't even own any shares of Kupp yet, but that just freaks me out.
Yeah, I did see a tweet from I'm actually looking at it right now because I sent it over to our the guy who has Cooper Kupp in our dynasty. And it's from Adam Hutchinson. I don't really know.
Verified.
But again, anyone can do that. But Cooper Kupp's hamstring injury update. Average time miss is 2.5 weeks. He has a 13% re-injury rate. Important news. Wide receivers over 28, which is Cooper Kupp, double the re-injury rate and experience impaired fantasy production for 3+ weeks after return. So you bring that 13%. He has a 26% re-injury rate because of his age and impaired fantasy production 3+ weeks after return. So, yeah, I mean, luckily it happened now and not, you know, a week before the season or anything along those lines. But, yeah, it's just, you know, he's 30 years old. That's what you got to kind of worry about with those older players.
Sure. I mean, assuming Kupp gets healthy or if he's not, if he's, you know, God forbid he's not out there week one, are you taking a shot on any of these Rams receivers? Or are you just leaving it be?
No, I'll leave the receivers be. I do like and I did not actually put him in my sleeper. I do like Cam Akers though. And then I think I would bump Higbee up in my rankings just a little bit for tight end. I think that's a really good punt it kind of strategy for tight end and get Higbee. If Cooper Kupp is gone, they have no one that is reliable enough to catch the ball, so I really think Higbee would be my option.
Yeah, the Kupp owner in our Dynasty League just picked up Puka Nacua, the rookie receiver, not too long ago. So, yeah, scramblings are being made.
Yeah, he's sweating it because he has Breece Hall and obviously Dalvin Cook, and we don't know where he's going. So he's sweating it right now.
I mean, yeah, I didn't write down Dalvin Cook, but we'll just mention him. I mean, the betting favorite is still New York, but I think seeing how many injuries we are seeing this early on, I think he's going to hold out and some team may throw 8 to 10 million at him and, you know, go from there. I think he still wants to play in Miami. He's still holding out for the Patriots, you know, New York. He could go anywhere at this point.
I think it's Miami. That's where he's from. So that's my kind of landing spot for him. He was supposed to be visiting him this week. I haven't really seen any news on it, but he did visit the Jets this past weekend. He passed his physical there. He was there at practice all day. Hard Knocks will be showing in, and I believe they start on the 8th or 9th of this month. So, yeah, I do think it's between Miami or the Jets, and it just kind of depends on, you know, who wants him more. I from rumors, the Jets kind of lowballed him a little bit, maybe like by $2 million, which is kind of shocking considering Rodgers just gave up all that money in the contract that he renegotiated. You think they would give it to him, but, you know, who knows?
I would not be shocked if any of the four AFC East teams signed him at this point.
I don't think the Bills do.
Zach Moss broke his forearm, or broke his whatever.
Well, good thing Zach Moss plays for the Colts.
Or, fuck, who am I thinking of?
Yeah, number 21. He was in the trade with Zach Moss.
I know, we'll get there.
Naeem Hines.
Yeah. Tim Patrick tore his ACL for the second year in a row.
Achilles. I mean, come on, Dodge. What are you doing? It's Achilles.
Bro, I'm a doctor. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Obviously, this bumps up Greg Dulcich and Marvin Mims. I mean, you just took him in our startup. It bumps up the receivers, but unfortunately, this is probably a career-ending injury for him.
Yeah, you never want to see it happen. I was never, you know, high on Tim Patrick. I never understood the hype, especially, again, his age coming off the ACL last year. But, yeah, it just sucks when you see a guy who recovered off of a big injury and couldn't even play a down in the regular season game. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really think it does much for Jeudy or Sutton, maybe a couple more targets here and there. Like you said, I think it does bump up Dulcich and Marvin Mims.
Ken Walker / Zach Charbonnet. Yeah. The shit show that Seattle's
no wonder why Seattle just drafts running backs every year.
Ken Walker considered week to week with a groin injury, and Zach Charbonnet has a non-contact shoulder injury. Again, no timetable for his return.
Yeah, I read the interview, and then I heard it on their podcast. It's Pete Carroll said, yeah, he didn't get hit. Injury just came out of nowhere, and he's out indefinitely, which could be a week, could be 6 months.
I mean, we really don't know. We saw Sharp fall to the back of our second round in our rookie startup draft, one QB, and it's just like everyone's scared to take him at this point. I mean, if we don't have any news in the next coming weeks here, I have my redraft draft at the end of August here. I'm totally out on Sharp and Walker.
Yeah, I mean, Walker, he was banged up coming in to the season last year. He did obviously produce, but not in – he had to break off long runs. Like, he's not a pass-catching guy, but he still had a great finish. So, yeah, I mean, like, Walker's just – I didn't love him even before Charbonnet. Obviously, didn't love him after Charbonnet. And this is not helping either. So, he just keeps falling on my boards, and very unlikely that I have any percentage of Ken Walker in this year.
Last piece of news. Give me your breakdown on what you think of the Jonathan Taylor – Colts ownership saga that's going on here, because this is wild.
Yeah, I don't know. I was looking, obviously I'm talking to, you know, people in our league about JT, would this person give him up? And so I was looking at the, you know, CMC trade. The Niners gave up second, third, fourth for this previous 2023, and then a fifth for next year. JT probably will be for sure a second. I don't think a team gives up a first, but a second, third, maybe a second, a next year second. So it's very doable. It's not like it's a Justin Jefferson or a quarterback, but it's very bonkers. You know, Jim Irsay is a weird owner. He kind of has the worst – he's kind of known as the worst owner now that the Commanders guy's out, who's come out and said that we essentially don't value running backs. We're not paying you. Yeah, it's very weird. I see JT. Man, he's not going to win this battle.
No, it's wild because he gets placed on the non-football injury list with the quote-unquote back issue. Then he goes to Twitter or X or whatever the fuck you call that app.
It's
now.
Twitter. It's Twitter.
saying, I've never had a back issue. I don't have a back issue now. And he requests a trade. Jim Irsay's like, no, we have no plans on trading this guy. So they're at a stalemate, and I agree with you. I think Jonathan Taylor's going to lose this battle. I don't think he's going anywhere, but I think he will get on the field sooner rather than later, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, he's at practice. He was at practice yesterday or 2 days ago and yesterday, just walking around. Saw a lot of funny comments. He's like, yeah, you're walking around like an 80-year-old man who has back problems. So I'm not sure. I think he stays put, but I'd say it's 75-25. He's a Colt to start the season.
100%. There's rumors that he's going to the Patriots, rumors that Chiefs are interested. And AFC, I saw a tweet that said AFC scout thought of the Bears for the top landing spot for Taylor. So, I mean, yeah, I agree. I don't think he's going anywhere either, though. All right.
Do you want to start with sleepers?
Okay. I was going to ask bus or sleepers?
Or no, sorry, bus. I'll start with bus.
Okay. So I think we'll have the same receiver bus, but I'm curious to see who you put to quarterback. You want to go first on these, or do you want me to give me who I got?
I'll go first on bus. You can go first on sleepers. I had a tough time struggling for QBs just because there's a huge gap. There's a lot of guys going in the first, you know, not a lot, but there are like, you know, 6-7 guys going in the first 5 rounds. And then there's kind of a break. So, you know, and it's tough, obviously, picking between those top guys. But, you know, we talked about him last week, and it is Justin Fields for me. He's going as the QB6. He had a QB7 finish last year. I just don't see him improving that much in his passing game as what he's going to need to. I don't see him rushing for 800 yards, 1,000 yards. I don't even think I see 600, 650, where he's going to have to improve that much in the past. You know, I saw, you know, I saw a stat, you know, 650 of his, you know, 1,050 rushing yards were scrambling. That's just a big chunk. Obviously, the Bears, they got better offensive line. So you would assume his scrambling yards do drop down from that 650 to maybe, you know, 300. In week 12, you know, this is where I kind of go to like his improving a passing game. Week 12, Justin Fields was out. Okay. Backup quarterback Trevor Siemian. He played the entire game against a top 5 Jets defense in the rain. He was only 14 of 25 for 179 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Not great, right?
Sure, not great. I agree.
Okay. Fields only threw for over 179 yards in 3 other games. He only completed more than 14 passes 5 other games this year. And this is a backup quarterback against a top 5 defense in bad weather that he did what Justin Fields does on one of his better games for passing. Obviously, Fields does run. But I don't see Justin Fields improving this much drastically in the passing game to even out him dropping and rushing. If he stays rushing, then yes, he'll be a top 3 fantasy quarterback this year. I just don't see it. But I do think if he takes, you know, baby steps this year, he improves in passing a little bit, I think next year is when he could be the top 3, top 2, even 1. But he has to show me a little bit more before I can say he's a solidified top 5 fantasy running quarterback. Excuse me.
So where his ADP is right now, Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence are going behind him. I would take both those guys over Fields.
Yes, and that's another thing. I like the next 2 guys after him.
For sure. So, I mean, he technically where his ADP is, he's top 6, but put him in the 8th to 10th spot this year. I agree. I don't want to agree, but I would love to see him in the top 5. He won't rush as much because he's not going to be scrambling as much.
Bears fans hope for sure.
Right. And he added DJ Moore. I would like to see his passing yards be in the 3,000s this year instead of 2. At that point, you know, obviously to get up to those top 3 numbers, you have to either throw for 5,000 yards or rush for 1,000, which I don't think he will do. So I get why you put him up there, but
And also the Bears were 32nd in passing yards in attempt last year. So like just the volume, obviously that should go up. But again, a drastic jump from 32nd to, you know, they would have to go to 16th for him to, I think, having that passing volume to then be a top 5-6 quarterback, which that's a huge jump on it for a team.
Right. Yeah. I mean, out of the 8 players I've wrote down, I think my bust for quarterback was probably the one I tilted the most on.
I didn't really
know who to write down.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a tough position, I feel like.
So my bust was basically like based on half his ADP and half I like, you know, I don't think this guy has upside where, you know, that 9th, 10th, 11th round guys have that upside. It's Dak Prescott.
Okay.
His ADP is in the 8th round. I mean, it's fine. You aren't spending much draft capital on him. But 23 touchdowns and 15 interceptions last year in 12 games, not great. He lost his OC. They brought in Schottenheimer. His scheme has always been to run the damn ball. McCarthy has come out and said, yep, we're running the ball this year. He's had one of the slowest paces of play offenses in the league. Can he finish QB 10 to 12? Sure. But at that point, why are you wasting an eighth-round draft pick when you could take Tua, who's going a full round later, Anthony Richardson, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers? They can all finish the QB 10 through 12. And that's why I think I'm just going to punt that position for where he's being drafted and look elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, and Dak has said he's not throwing more than 10 interceptions this year, and all I'm seeing is him just throwing picks.
Yeah, did you see?
I mean, it happens obviously in camp. You know, one-on-ones are kind of a joke. 7-on-7 right. is a joke. But, yeah, it's just funny. I mean, yeah, Dak used to be a top four guy, but that's when he was running the ball and right. having six rushing touchdowns. Since that ankle injury, 3 years ago, he's not doing that anymore. So he doesn't have that dual threat in him, which is what we want in those quarterbacks. So, yeah, I definitely agree. I think, he's a safe guy, but there are other safe guys you can get multiple rounds later.
His first 3 years, he's been in the league 6 years. His first 3 years, he's posted up 280 rushing yards at least and six touchdowns each of his first 3 years. And he's finished as a QB 6, 10, and 12. The next 3 years, he posted up three touchdowns, one touchdown, and he has he finished 277 yards his fourth year, but 93 rushing yards, 146 rushing yards. So you take that out of his play, and I don't really love the upside where he's being drafted.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely agree. I don't think I've drafted Dak in any of my mocks for Dynasty or for redraft.
No, me neither.
I mean, if he falls to me, I just did a Dynasty one, and I went AR in the, I think it was 7th round. But if I went an AR, then I wouldn't mind taking a Dak in my Dynasty league. Or even, in Dynasty, because Dak kind of falls a little bit more in Dynasty until AR is ready. But, for my QB1 in Dynasty, I don't love Dak.
No, I don't either.
All right, so my running back, I don't know. I think you might be a little shocked on it. I went Travis Etienne.
No, I'm not shocked. I thought about it.
He was your sleeper last year, right?
No, he was a my guy last year.
My guy last year. Okay. So I just went with ETN. His current ADP and where he's ranked right now, at least on sleeper, is going as the RB13. I do not think that he can finish as – that's a borderline RB1. I do not think he can do that. I think he's more of a 17 to 25 guy. That's where he was last year, was 17. He does not have the passing work. He had the 22nd most targets for a running back in the league. The Jags brought in, Calvin Ridley. They drafted Tanks Bigsby, who is doing great work in the passing game. He's getting a lot of goal line opportunities in camp right now. And the goal line opportunities is really where ETN showed out last year. That's where he kind of got his touchdowns. So I just think the passing work, and it's a team that they added another wide receiver who last time we saw him play a full season, wide receiver 5, and they drafted a running back early on. So I just don't think he can be a top 13 guy. I still think he can be a 17, maybe 16 running back, but just where he's going, I'd rather have other guys. I'd rather have Jones and Mixon who are going after him a full round later.
Oh, that's the same narrative I'm about to bring up. But going back to Tank Bigsby, I didn't know what his college profile looked like. Year over year, he's caught more passes. His best year was 30 catches, 180 yards, no touchdowns. But they brought him in to be the third down pass catching back. So I do think that upside is limited with ETN. It pains me to put this guy at my bust, but it is none other than Mr. Ken Walker.
Okay.
Were you thinking about Walker at all?
No, just because I feel like, by all means, I don't want to say that's an easy pick just because of what's all happened.
Sure.
But, I mean, if you look at where he finished last year, you wouldn't think he'd be a bust.
Right. Oh, no, definitely not. And his ADP is already dropping. I made these notes on Friday last week. His ADP was the back of the third round. Now it's the beginning of the fourth round, so – people are starting to take notice with the groin injury that popped up. Charbonnet, he has an undisclosed injury, but you don't spend a second round draft capital to not be used in the offense. added JSN, but you know, the whole situation, you have to bank on Geno too. Can Geno repeat his solid performance from last year to sustain three top 24, top 30 receivers along with two top running backs? I personally don't think so, but you know, Walker's, he's not the pass catching back. That's Charbonnet. There's just a lot of mouths to feed. And in the fourth round, like you just said, over ETN, I would rather have Aaron Jones. I'd rather have Mixon. I mean, even Miles Sanders, I would take a glance at if I was on the clock for him or Ken Walker. So where he's being drafted, I'm just so out on him in the fourth round.
Yeah, no, like I said earlier, have not drafted him in Dynasty, in redraft. So I'm right there with you. He had a great finish to where he ended up last year, but how he did it is just, you know, just odd. And then, you know, you hit on it with the injury and then JSN being added on. So yeah, definitely totally agree. All right. You said we're going to have the same receiver. I went Deebo.
I also went Deebo.
All right. So I have a lot of notes on my reasonings for Deebo.
Me too.
So on Sleeper, he's going as the wide receiver 16. He's only finished above that once in his life, and that's when he got tons of work in the RB position. Obviously, they have CMC and Elijah Mitchell. He won't be doing that. He's not doing that anymore. It's a crowded room for pass catching. CMC, Ayuk, and Kittle with a team that was 26th in pass attempts. So it's not like it's the Minnesota Vikings, Kansas City Chiefs, who are throwing it the fifth most, third most in the league. It's a team that doesn't throw it that much. Purdy is the quarterback right now, which, again, we saw for six games. Yes, he won those games. He was good in those games. Purdy played in weeks 13 through 18. Deebo, of course, only played in half of them because he gets hurt a lot. And the one full game, he did see 10 targets, but was still only the wide receiver 33. Last year, he had one top 15 finish, only two top 20 finishes. During the Purdy time, when Purdy was in and, again, Deebo was hurt, Kittle saw an average of six targets. Ayuk saw an average of damn near seven targets. CMC, another six targets a game. And lastly, Purdy only averaged 26 targets a game. 26 targets a game. So if you take the other three, that's 18. That's only eight more targets for the rest of the team. Deebo's not going to just get all eight. No, they're going to get distributed. Obviously, these are all just going to get distributed. And it just means that there's, again, where he's going, wide receiver 16, I don't see him being able to do that. And then you add if Purdy gets hurt again, who's going to be quarterback?
Right. So I have all those notes. Just to sum that up, there's too many mouths to feed. Brock Purdy's an average quarterback on a team that doesn't need to throw the ball a lot. One game is going to be Kittle. One game is going to be Ayuk. One game is going to be Deebo. Ayuk is a big reason why Debo's going to be a bust. Ayuk can finish ahead of Deebo, and he's going, two, three rounds later?
Yeah, I like Ayuk a lot. I just can never get myself to draft him, though, because of the same thing. It's a crowded room.
So I wrote down a couple of receivers that are going after Deebo. You stop me when you would take Deebo over one of these.
This might take a while.
Keenan Allen.
Amari Cooper.
I'm starting to get on the Calvin Ridley hype train. I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing, but the Jags pass the ball more.
Right. So Calvin Ridley, we both take. Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, 100%.
DeAndre Hopkins.
I almost put him as my sleeper, but I'm like, I can't. It's D-Hop. I can't have him as a sleeper.
So this is where I'm like, okay, this could be 50-50. DJ Moore.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, man. It sucks because it's the exact, like, non-crowded room. But, you know, I would say Fields is a better quarterback than Purdy, but the team doesn't pass.
Right.
I would probably rather have DJ just because I can say 100% he will lead his team in targets.
Okay, so that we're already, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 receivers down. London.
Kinda. London and DJ are the exact same.
That's the line for me.
I'd go Deebo.
I would take Deebo too. Okay, so DJ Moore was Let's see, a full round, almost a round and a half later. So
yeah,
yikes. I knew we were going to both write Devo.
Yeah, I tried getting someone else and just being, again, I thought about DJ Moore, but I didn't want to come off as a Bears hater. I just don't like the passing volume and for where he's going. So I didn't want, and I don't want, because I'm a Bears hater, but I obviously know DJ Moore is a good football player. Yeah, Debo, it's just not it for me. It's not it. It never has been.
Nope, not at all. All right, who's your tight end here?
All right, Dodge, I'm sorry to do it, but it's Kyle Pitts.
Ah, damn it.
I'm sorry to do it.
You're just salty you traded him away.
I mean, I am because of who he is as a player I want. But, and I didn't write anything about him except for just coming off an injury. That's the only thing I have on him. It's the team. Just like DJ Moore, it's the team. It's the scenario. The passing opportunity, 31st last year in yards and attempts. Who was 32nd? The Bears. He is coming off the injury. The team clearly loves to run the ball. They just drafted Bijan, not in the second round. They didn't get a dime. They didn't get a steal in the third. No, eighth overall pick. When they had a rookie last year from the fourth round rush for over 1,000 yards, and he didn't even play the first couple of games.
As a team perspective, that wasn't really the smartest pick, but
no, not at all. But great for fantasy.
Yeah,
it's an incompetent quarterback play, just like he had last year. The only reason why he was going so high last year is because his rookie year, it was still incompetent quarterback play, but they threw the ball to him. He only played 10 games, but his 17-game pace last year was 100 targets, 48 catches, 600 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Can you guess where that would have actually had him end up as a overall tight end?
Oh, God. Just tell me. I don't even want
17.
To know. Oh, God.
And did Aaron Rodgers, did he get traded there? Did Lamar go there? No, Desmond Ridder. And they do have Drake London. I get quarterbacks can distribute it to two players and have them both be fantasy relevant. But now when those opportunities are 22 passing attempts a game.
Yeah, I will hand it to you. There will not be a lot of passing volume to go
around. So I love Kyle Pitts, the player. He's just a freak of an athlete. He's still incredibly young, but it's just his opportunity. He needs to demand a trade and go somewhere else.
I know that Twitter video hurt me. That I'm sure you've seen it, where he beats some guy off the line and it's an out route. All you have to do is plop it in his hands. And
yeah, it's not like it's a 60-yard fade or a back shoulder. It's a simple 7-yard out route.
Yeah, max 10-yard out route that just gets thrown way behind him. It hits off his hands. It was uncatchable. It's just, it hurts my soul.
I have heard Ridder has been better, and when they're doing 11-on-11, and it still made me laugh. It was 3 sessions of 11-on-11. Ridder was 7 of 8. You threw the ball 3 times on 3 different possessions?
I just wish Atlanta would be bad enough to be in contention for a top quarterback next year. But I don't think...
If they're bad enough for a top quarterback, Arthur Smith is gone.
For sure.
And so they get a new head coach, a new quarterback, and then I'm like, fuck, I just traded away Calvin Pitts. I just traded away Pitts, and I'm pissed.
Yeah, I mean, I hope for nothing but the best for Drake London and Kyle Pitts in the future, but this is just probably not going to be it this year.
Yeah, not this year, but in Dynasty, you should still hold on unless you can get a good haul, which I did feel like I got from you, but you just gotta hold on to him.
Yep. My tight end bust is that was the tight end 6 last year. He's going in the 7th round this year, 7-12. It's none other than Mr. Evan Engram.
Oh,
with the
so you have Kyle Pitts now, so you're fine on saying Ingram's gonna bust.
Hey, I mean, hey, I have Ken Walker, Kyle Pitts, Evan Engram. This is a regression year for Silence of the Lambs, I guess. with the addition of Ridley, I mean, Engram will not see another 98 targets and a 17% market share that he saw last year. There's just no way. He wasn't utilized in the red zone at all. He only saw 9 targets total. He also scored half of his fucking fantasy points in a 4-week window. The other 13 weeks, he only averaged 4.5 targets and 5.4 fantasy points per game.
So grody.
I know. It was gross. I picked him up off waivers. Nobody even wanted him in Dynasty. So, I mean, we get it. If you're not taking one of the top tight ends, they're all going to have boom or bust weeks. But with the addition of Ridley, I don't see a place for Evan Engram to be in your starting lineup this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see who your sleeper tight end is. I just wrote down my guess for you, though, so I'll see if I'm right.
Okay, I think we'll have the same sleeper quarterback, I'm not going to lie.
No, I did not write Aaron Rodgers.
I did not either.
I did not write down Tua.
I did not either.
I wrote Kirk Cousins.
Okay, I'll tell you. You can go on Kirk Cousins, okay. But I did not write him.
All right, so Kirk Cousins, again, I don't the quarterback show, but I became a Kirk Cousins personal fan, a fan of him as a person. But, you know, he's going as a QB 13 right now, which, again, he's older. He doesn't run. He's a QB 6 season where he didn't run, and he was still old last year. The team has the second best, but a lot of other people say the best receiver in the game. And they just drafted a first-round wide receiver in Jordan Addison. He was a wide receiver of the year in college 2 years ago. And he's just a nice slot gadget guy. The team threw the ball third most in the NFL. And they have a good tight end. Again, another former first-round tight end in TJ Hockenson. This defense is going to be bottom four in the league. They're going to need to score. They're going to need to throw. I want to go back to my Brock Purdy numbers when in those games Purdy only threw 26 – or he averaged 26 pass attempts, right?
Yep.
Kirk Cousins, there are only two games he did not throw over 26 pass attempts. Week 11, when they got blown out by Dallas and he only played 79% of the snaps. And week 18, when he played 54% of the snaps. Other than that, they throw the ball like there's no tomorrow. He has Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, KJ Osborne, and a terrible defense. They're just going to throw. They're just going to throw. And you can think of like Tom Brady last year. If Kirk Cousins is bad, which Kirk Cousins is also a decade younger, with those same pass attempts, Tom Brady was still QB12. That's still one spot that Kirk Cousins is being drafted. So I think Kirk Cousins can be another top seven guy just because we always see guys get injured or they don't produce and they slip in the quarterbacks. And we have guys that just randomly go off. Geno and Trevor and Cousins last year. Trevor Lawrence came out of nowhere. Fields came out of nowhere last year. People take those random jumps. And I think Cousins can easily do it again.
All right. I mean, yeah, he's not a rushing quarterback at all. But so he's going to have to throw for 4,500 and 30 touchdowns. But he's
and the crazy thing, I didn't even write it down for some reason. But he didn't throw for an insane amount of touchdowns last year. I'm trying to pull it up. Like I said, I didn't write it down. Frick. It's a stupid new app. I never don't know how to use it right now. Where is it? He's on Team Sutton.
Touchdowns. It wasn't 30.
Yeah, it was 29.
Okay.
Which is not a, like he can throw for 34, 35. You know, he's done it before in his career. 33, 35 were his last two seasons for him in Minnesota.
Okay. I thought, yeah, I'm in on Kirk Cousins, but I'm in on this quarterback more. I thought this was going to be a layup for both of us. This is by far the easiest. It's Kyler Murray.
Man. I've been taking him in Dynasty and Rejects. I have been taking him.
I'm so in on any format, any platform. His ADP is still in the 13th round.
Yeah.
Right now, if you look up articles, there still says no timetable for return. Even if he's not back week one, he's not missing many games this season. He'll be back sooner rather than later. He's been a top 10 quarterback every year before that. He's averaged over 100 rushing attempts. He's averaged over 600 rushing yards to go along with an average of 3,800 passing yards and 23 passing touchdowns. This guy is still 25 years old. It's not like this dude just got injured and he's a Matt Stafford age. This dude has his whole career ahead of him still.
Right.
Assuming he doesn't get another injury like this again, then it's risky business. But at least for redraft this year, take Geno, take Kirk Cousins, take Cousins and Kyler Murray and pair him with your last two picks. I don't know where Cousins is going, but Kyler Murray is just an outright steal in the 13th round. He's free. I wouldn't even be surprised if he hits some waiver wires after the draft and he wasn't even drafted. So go take the upside of Kyler Murray and win your leagues.
Yeah, I like Kyler a lot. The only, and but again, I am taking, you know, like you said, Geno. I think I've paired him with Rodgers, and have it like, I think Rodgers going to the 10th, Kyler in the 13th. The only thing that worries me is even if he does come back, I just see his rushing just going down a bit. Just again, coming off the ACL. But you know, I love the value. Again, like you said, you're basically getting him for nothing. So why not take a chance on if he is healthy by week 3 and he's, you know, fully healthy by week 7 and running around again like the little man he can, then yeah, you got to steal.
Boom.
All right, so you can say this is a homer pick, but Miles Sanders.
Oh, okay.
Just yeah. He's on my dynasty team, you know, but man, I love, you know, that's who I got in the trade from Kyle Pitts, for people who don't know. He's going as the RB20 on Sleeper right now after an RB15 finish. I know he is on a new team. He went from the NFC champs Eagles to the 7-10 Panthers. But it's good that he got away because Jalen Hurts was taking away tons of not only just goal line carries, but carries. They use other running backs in the goal line besides him, even though he had 11 rushing touchdowns. And the O-line, Eagles are the best offensive line in the game. I get that. But Panthers O-line is borderline top 10. It was ranked 31st to start the year last year, and it got all the way to 12th, and now they're at about 15. So they're in the top half, and it's because they're terrible at pass blocking. Like, that's their downfall. They're great at run blocking. So, and Miles Sanders is the lone RB. Chuba Hubbard's ass. He's had so many opportunities, hasn't really been able to produce. They want to use him as a 3-down back. So third down, for people who do not know, they want to use him in the passing game. He was the RB15 last year with 26 targets and 78 receiving yards. 78 receiving yards. That, some running backs do that in one game.
Yeah, that's almost zero.
That is literally 7.8. He got 10 points on the passing game last year, and he was the RB15. And he can't catch the ball. Panthers coaches, not writers, not fans. The coaches are saying, we want to have him over 50 targets. That's the owner. Now I'm blank. Frank Reich. He's now the Panthers head coach. He has said, we want to use him like JT. JT, when he was RB1, had 51 targets. And they want to use him like how Sanders was his rookie year. Sanders' rookie year, if you put his passing work, again, this is like, okay, big what if, obviously. If you put his passing work from his rookie year to his rushing attack this past year, he would have been the RB5. Obviously, I'm not saying that that is the rushing work is as realistic, but the passing work is. But I think he'd be a top 10 guy. I think that's a ceiling, but I don't see him getting worse than RB14, 15 again.
I mean, if you've been listening throughout the whole offseason, you know my hype and excitement around Miles Sanders.
So. Yeah, I mean, we're both on it, and he's going, and he just has a great value landing round. Just a steal for me.
So my running back sleeper, it's, if you go zero RB, this is this could be ugly depending on how you view this player.
I just wrote down my pick for you.
James Cook.
Oh, yeah, I wrote James Connor.
Ooh,
damn it.
He hesitated. He's like, wait, what did I hear? James Conner, I am also high on at the 6th, 7th round. But James Cook, yeah. His ADP is in the 8th round. The hype around camp is they believe he can be a 3-down back. He has the potential to do it. Most of his work last year, he got one opportunity, fumbled his first snap. They put him on the bench. He can't fault the guy for fumbling the first snap in the NFL.
But he was just too excited.
He was. Most of his work came in garbage time last year. But that being said, he still averaged 5.7 yards on the ground and 8.6 yards per opportunity through the air. Those aren't small numbers. He's listed as a starter on ESPN. Take that for what it's worth over Damian Harris. This is probably a 65-35, 60-40 split. But he will get more opportunities. 121 last year. If he bumps it up to 175, Nyheim Hines, not Zach Moss, broke his forearm. So it's really just a two-down backfield. Really just a two-down backfield this year. on the arguably the best offense in the league. Oh, you know, he's the pass catching back. He could see 50 plus catches, bump his opportunities up to 175, maybe even 200. Where he's going in the eighth round, he has top, let's say 15 potential. I don't want to put him in top 12 because I don't think that's realistic, but he could squarely be a solid RB2 for your team this year.
Yeah, and just to kind of piggyback, Devin Singletary, obviously they kind of replaced him with Damien Harris. But I do not – and these are Singletary numbers, 178 attempts, 822 yards, 5 rushing touchdowns with 52 targets. That's the big thing for me is the 52 targets. That was taken away from James Cook. And Damien Harris is kind of just in the same as Devin Singletary, maybe even just a little bit worse. So yeah, just adding the volume that's gone, I think he can be a 200 carries, 60 target guy, 50 target guy.
I think 200 opportunities. I don't know if 200 did you mean opportunities or carries?
No, didn't you say he had 120 last year?
121 total opportunities.
Oh, total opportunities. Okay. I said 120 carries. Okay, then yeah, I still think 2 to maybe 230 total opportunities.
Yeah, he had 89 attempts for 507 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground, and then 32 targets, 21 catches, 180 yards.
I mean, 225 opportunities are vacant. They're not all – if you just split that down the middle between Singletary and – or not Singletary, Harris and Cooks now, what did I say, 125?
Yep.
Yeah, 125 to add to his 120. That's 240 – it's 255 right there, 245.
And, assuming he's not getting all of that, I wrote down 175 to 200 opportunities this year is very realistic.
Yeah. All right. I'm going my wide receiver, and I went with Mr. 1,000 yards himself, Mike Evans.
I didn't even look his way, but yeah, I don't disagree with where you're going.
He's just going as the wide receiver 33. I wrote insanely disrespectful. His worst finish ever was wide receiver 22 when he had only 3 touchdowns, the lowest of his career by far. I mean, not by far, he had 5 1 year, but 3. He's seen over 110 targets all but 1 year, all over 100. He has seen over 120 targets all but just 3 seasons, and he missed 3 games in one of those seasons, and he had 118 still. He's gone over 1,000 yards every single year. I understand the QB concern. I understand who is it going to be, Trask or Mayfield. You know, who's the shinier turd? I get it. But the value that there are in 12 teams league, he's going to the 6th round, 10 teams, middle of the 7th. If he's your wide receiver 3, I would be ecstatic about that. That means that I have hopefully have 2 great running backs, 2 great receivers, and maybe a 3rd running back and a top quarterback to pair with Mike Evans. This team is going to lose. They're going to be down. They're going to need to throw. So just there's going to be volume, not 733 attempts, but there's still going to be volume. And it's him and Godwin. That's really it.
Right. The value is insane. I won't argue that. People are just scared because of Baker Mayfield versus Kyle Trask quarterback battle. He will be 30 by the time the season starts. I know receivers don't drop off like running backs do, but there's concern there. And you know, like you said, there's Godwin still. So,
and Godwin's going a full 2 rounds before him. Give me Evans 2 rounds later. They're probably going to finish close to each other.
Yeah, I mean, if I see him there in the 7th round, that it's pretty hard not to take him. I'm not going to lie.
Right. Now I'm writing down who I think your pick will be, and I really don't know. Man. NFC.
NFC.
All right, I got it.
Well, we just talked about him last week, and it goes along the same narrative as your Kirk Cousins argument, Mr. Jordan Addison.
Oh, I'm like, this motherfucker's going to say Lockett because he's always a sleeper.
Justin Jefferson, lock it in. No, Addison's going 3 spots below Evans, so it's the same round.
Yep.
He has instant top 24 upside as a rookie. I made a bunch of these arguments last week, but 107 vacated targets from Thielen last year. He has the possibility to see more of that on a pass-happy offense. Defense is one of the worst in the league. They throw the ball almost more than any team in the league. They're going to need to. And he'll have one-on-one coverage with Jefferson on the other side of him. Lock him in as a top 24 wide receiver. I'm almost guaranteeing it.
I love to hear that. I just love it.
I just spit facts, even if it helps you out, I spit them out.
Music to my ears. All right. I'm going for my tight end. I went with Dalton Kincaid. Rookie tight end to the Bills. He's going as a tight end 13. All right. This guy was a first round draft pick. The Bills traded up to get him. They didn't want there's rumors Dallas was going to go. I think there's another team too, but whatever. So they jumped up to get him. So he has that draft capital. They have him playing as the slot, as a slot. Their head coach and their OC, I think their OC came out yesterday and said that him and Knox both playing on the field, but Knox is going to be a blocker. So he's going to, even when Knox is out there, he's still going to be running routes. Obviously, Diggs is the main guy there. That's not going to change. But Gabe Davis, he didn't prove it last year. This team was – Josh Allen was 6 in attempts. If you did his average for the season, he missed obviously the Bengals game. They didn't count it. But 6 in pass attempts, 5th in yards. Just tons of volume, tons of scoring opportunities. And the four tight ends going in front of him are, you know, tell me how you feel afterwards. Pat, Njoku, Schultz, Kmet. Tell me how you feel about their quarterbacks.
Pat, hate Pat's quarterback.
Yep.
Njoku, I do like Deshaun Watson a lot.
Yeah.
Kmet, I don't like the passing for
– And Schultz.
Gross.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, in best quarterback out of those five, if you include obviously Kincaid with Josh Allen, is second best. But is Njoku really that good? He hasn't done anything in, God, it feels like 5 years. So you give me the young first round guy, and I just threw these numbers out here. Tell me how you think you would feel about these as just a tight end. 100 targets, 70 catches, 800 yards, 5 touchdowns.
I can count on one hand. I'm about to make this argument for my sleeper. I can count on one hand how many tight ends see 100 targets. So not many.
That would be the tight end 5 from last year, and that was fewer targets than Kyle Pitts had his rookie year. About the same amount of receptions, I think two different. That is 220 less yards than Kyle Pitts his rookie year, but he got but 4 more touchdowns. Like 5 touchdowns is not a lot from a first round draft wide receiver tight end. Kyle Pitts just got screwed in at 1. I'm not saying that Kincaid's gonna be a top 3 guy, but I think he can easily be a top 7, top 6 tight end, and you're getting him as a tight end 13, super late.
Oh, for arguably one of the best offenses in the league. We sure have a lot of sleepers on these Bills here.
We really do.
We're going to close it out here with none other than the undrafted Tyler Higbee of the Los Angeles
Rams. Oh, so okay. I wrote down Njoku.
Yeah.
His
ADP, it's laughable. He's going undrafted.
Yeah.
But he finished as a tight end 9 last year with Stafford missing half the year. He saw 21% of targets last year. Tight ends don't see that much. It's Cooper Kupp and nobody else, and right now it's nobody else.
Right. We talked about it earlier.
This is a horrible offense. These targets have to go somewhere. In the game Stafford played last year with Higbee on the field, he averaged 7.1 targets and 8.7 yards per catch. And it was Higbee and, like, you know, the big three, Kelce, Kittle, Andrews, who averaged over 100 targets. I would not be shocked if he got 90 to 100 targets and 60 catches, you know, 5 touchdowns. He could flirt with another tight end 9 finish this year.
Yeah, I do like Higbee this year. We literally talked about him earlier today, especially with the Cooper Kupp news. I just remember that those first 5 weeks, his targets, 11, 9, 4, 14, and 10. That was with Cooper Kupp getting 14 targets a game.
Exactly.
And then he dropped off. He got hurt a little bit, and then obviously Stafford got hurt.
Yeah, I was making Higbee my start of the week. Every week he didn't go off, and then when I faded him, yeah, don't hear what I'm not saying. Higbee will for sure have boom or bust weeks. You're gonna put him in your lineup some weeks. He's gonna goose egg you, but overall, he's safer than others where he's being drafted,
which isn't being drafted. Yeah, I got. Yeah, I like KB. I like the value. So yeah, I think we agreed with pretty much everyone's pick for the most part.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that we both went Diva, but I agree with all of yours. I'm actually, I make fun of them, but I'll write them down. We'll write them down the Google Doc, and maybe you'll have to eat your words on Kyle Pitts.
Oh, Kyle Pitts. I thought you were going to say Fields.
No. I get the argument. I mean, I get the argument on all of them, but I would just like to see Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, so would I. I really would.
Midwesterners, I'm going to have to think long and hard because there's a lot of middle-of-the-pack teams. And
there are. Really,
there's like two top teams and two bottom teams, and everybody else can finish 3 through 8. So we'll have to do some research. More research than normal.
We're gonna upset some people.
All right. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, @TheKneelDown, and we will catch you guys next week.
See you next week.